the real man of God.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Price. Everybody say praise the Lord. I appreciate the kind words of your fine superintendent, Brother Price. I've known him for a long time, but hadn't ever had a chance to be personally connected with him in a meeting such as this. And it's been strengthening to me. And to be in fellowship with God's people. And to somehow draw strength from one another. We're in a battle, and we're in a battle of life.
Praise God.
That's right. And we're in the battle to win. I remember when General MacArthur came home when he was fired by President Truman. One of the things that he could not understand why they would not allow the army to go on across into the Manchurian border and win the battle. He said, I was trained and I was taught to fight a battle to win. And not just to go to a certain spot, quit, turn around, and have to be defeated. So I feel tonight that we are in a spiritual battle, but we're in this battle to win. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I feel that we are on the winning side, for we've got Jesus on our side. Amen. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed being with some of our ministering friends again. We have a lot of friends, ministers here in the District of California, and we have many of your ministers have come and preached and blessed our camps and youth camps and various district gatherings in the state of Texas. And we appreciate that so much. Brother Von Martin preached one of our youth camps here not too long ago, and Brother Gray came and couple of years, Bible teacher there several years back, and all just different ones that I could name that has been a blessing to our district from the District of California. And so we have certainly enjoyed our stay here and been a wonderful camp. We've enjoyed the fellowship of God's people, the spirit that prevailed here every day and every night, Brother Pugh's Bible lessons and the messages that we had a chance to hear. We just thankful for the privilege of hearing it. Praise God. And so on this last night of camp meeting, I trust and pray that it would be no different than the other nights. The power and the glory and the Spirit of God will come and prevail. The Lord doesn't come in the power of His Spirit. We're wasting our time tonight here. But if He comes in the power of His Spirit, people are blessed, souls are saved. Spirits are strengthened. Courage is wrought in our hearts. We can climb that next hill and run that last mile and be victorious in the end. Right. And I feel like that we are going to be victorious.
Yes.
I just do not believe the power of the devil is strong enough to defeat the power of God. Amen. I just don't believe that. So that's what I want to talk about a little while tonight. So if you would mind standing for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read tonight from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 35 down through verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord for the word of God. Ask the Lord to bless the word tonight. Would you pray for me? Amen. With me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless your word tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give us strength and power and the love of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we might as well to leave here tonight on the top of the cloud instead of the cloud on top of us. How about it? Praise God. We might as well to leave here tonight on top of the devil instead of having the devil on top of us. Amen. The Bible talks about it in the book of Deuteronomy. It tells us in chapter 28 that God's people is not supposed to be the tail. They're supposed to be the head. He said, I'll make you the head instead of the tail. Amen. And I don't believe the church is supposed to be the tail of nothing. I believe it's supposed to be out there leading the way. Amen. And I don't believe that we are can be defeated by the powers of the devil. The church is out front. It's always been out front. It'll continue to be out front. It'll climb the highest mountain. It'll make it through the lowest valley. It'll walk through the fire. Will not burn them. It'll go through the waters. Shall not drown them. I believe the powers of the devil can be defeated by the powers of God, because Paul said, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are conquerors tonight. And that's what I want to use for my subject. More than conquerors. Amen. Everybody say it. More than conquerors. Say it again. More than conquerors. Let's thank the Lord for the word, for the power, for the victory tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory in Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. More than conquerors, Paul said. And that means more exceeding conquerors. It means we are over and above conquering. That means that we not only can conquer the enemy, but we can go on the enemy's territory and take away from him what he possesses. Hallelujah. And when God equipped the church with the different gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of the ministry and the armor that he told us to put on in the book of Ephesians, he did not only include weapons of defense, but he gave us weapons of offense. Hallelujah. Not only can we defend ourselves against the spirits of the devil, but we can actually go into the territory of the devil and control and master those spirits and cast them out. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what do we have the victory over? What are we more than conquerors over? We're more than conquerors over sin. Sin cannot reign. It cannot conquer. It cannot control the saint of God or the church. We've got power over sin. I said we got power over sin. Hallelujah. We can keep sin out of our life. We can live above sin. We can live victorious through the power of God. And I'll tell you something else that we can overcome and conquer and be more than conquerors over, and that's our flesh. We can crucify the flesh. We can bring it under subjection. We can control its desires. We can live for God. Don't you let the devil tell you one second that the flesh is stronger than the spirit. It's not stronger than the spirit. My Bible tells me greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You've got the Holy Ghost tonight. You've got power over the flesh.
temptations of the world, the desires of the world. You're going to have a way of escape for you to get out. And you'll have power over the devil. I tell you, you have power over the devil. Read the 16th chapter of the book of St. Mark and you'll see, praise God, that we have power over the devil and we can go right in there and we can go on his territory and we can claim the victory in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. Men and women that's tormented by the powers of the devil, we can cast them out. Men and women that's addicted to dope, cigarettes, drunkenness, and sin, whatever it is, God gives us a power, praise God, to go right out there on his territory and get that person that is bound by the powers of hell, the powers of sin, the powers of evil, the powers of spiritual things. We can cast that devil out. Hallelujah. We not only defend ourselves, but we got power to defeat the devil on his own ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost tonight. I said I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the thing that gives me the power. And I can't do it within myself. Paul didn't say he could defeat the devil within himself. He didn't say he could overcome the flesh within himself. He didn't say he could overcome sin within himself. He didn't say that he could overcome persecution within himself or nothing else. But he said it was all through Christ Jesus that he had the victory over all of these things. Persecution, sin, the flesh, the powers of the world, the depraved nature can all be brought under subjection to the Spirit of God that dwells inside of the heart of a child of God. It's through the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we have the victory tonight. Hallelujah. That's not in us. That's not in me. But it's Christ that liveth in me that gives me the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now then, this is why the Old Testament saints were defeated and lived in defeat all the time. That's why Samson was defeated, Saul was defeated, and Israel was defeated time and time again. Because before Pentecost, in the Old Testament, the Spirit only moved upon men. It did not live resident in the heart of man. Only since the day of Pentecost has the Spirit of God become resident in the life and the heart of a man. And so that's why that men were defeated under the Old Testament. That's why the law was condemned them, but yet it did not give them the power to be able to live above sin. But when Jesus Christ came into their heart and took up residence in their heart through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So, before the day of Pentecost, the power on the outside of the person was greater than the power on the inside. But now, since we got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the power on the inside is greater than the power on the outside. Hallelujah. Amen. And so that's why we can live above sin. That's why we can defeat the devil. That's why we can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So the power of the Holy Ghost is the thing that gives us the victory over the powers of the devil. Alright, I want to go to Brother Martin's going to read for me tonight a few scriptures. I want to go first of all to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And I want to show you how we defeat the devil tonight. Now that we don't defeat the devil within ourselves, but there is a resource that we depend on that gives us the ability to defeat the powers of the devil. All right, what did he say in Acts 1 and 8?
But you shall receive power.
All right, now then, they hadn't been able to get this power as of yet before the day of Pentecost. And Jesus was fixing to be ascended up into heaven. He led them out as far as Bethany, stood there, and he said, ye shall receive power.
When? After that, the Holy Ghost.
After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. I want to show you what this means here. The word power of the Holy Ghost means this: the living presence of God dwelling in the believer.
Yes.
He shall receive living presence inside of you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to take up my residence in you.
Yeah.
I'm going to live in you. And so, this word here, power, means dunamis. It means dynamite. It means something that's explosive. Something that can blast it out.
Yeah.
Something that can conquer it. You can take dynamite, put it in a mountain, and I don't care how strong that mountain is, that dynamite will blast to it. And that's what God said. He said, I'm going to put dynamite on the inside
Amen.
Of your soul with my living presence.
Glory.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, the Lord, who loved us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he said, my living presence will come and dwell and live in the believer. And the fact that my presence and the fact that I'm living in there, it gives a believer power over opposing forces. Absolute authority and complete control over every sin, over every temptation, over every evil, and over all of the powers of hell that try to oppose the child of God.
Glory.
Yes.
All right, so I've got the Holy Ghost tonight. And so I'm more than conqueror. How do I conquer? I conquer through Christ. I conquer through the Holy Ghost. I conquer through the power that's resident inside of me, which is the Holy Ghost. I conquer by the living presence of God that lives and dwells inside of my heart. And so tonight, that's how we live an overcoming life. And the complete control, the power that God gives me through the baptism of the Holy Ghost gives me complete control over the powers that will oppose me in my walk with God. What did he say in Isaiah 40, verse 29 and verse 31 also? I want you to know that we have power tonight. He said you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Have you got the Holy Ghost tonight? Say amen. All right, you've got power. You've got power to conquer. And you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus the Lord. What did he say? Isaiah 40, verse 29.
He giveth power to the faint.
All right. Bible said he gives power to the faint. Here's a fellow over here. And Paul said, you be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. Now, a fellow that's a fainting, have you ever fainted? Or seen anybody that has fainted? Have you ever seen anybody that's a fainting? The closest thing I ever come to fainting one time was when I hurt my leg, and when that bullet hit me in the knee, and it knocked me down, and I didn't know where I was hit, and so I stood back up and started to take a step, and when I did, I fell again, and I could feel myself a-fainting, and I was trying to hold on to consciousness, and yet at the same time, I was about to faint, and the pain, you know, and we was under fire, and so there it was. Nobody couldn't get to me. Now, of course, men couldn't come. And so I had to lay there for a while. Finally, they put me up on a truck, and I hung on to the door of the truck. We was under heavy fire and mortar fire. I just hung on to that truck, the bed of that thing, and on the running board. I don't know how long I hung on there. Somebody finally come along, throw me over in the back end of the thing. I lost my rifle, lost my pack, lost my helmet, I lost everything. And anyway, that's the closest that I ever can remember of a faint. A person that is about to faint is a person that is about to lose consciousness. It's one that has lost the power to resist. It's the one that has lost the power to continue. It's one that has become discouraged. It's one that in the spirit that feels a feeling of defeat by the powers of the devil. But here's what God said. In your trials, saints of God, in your battle with the devil, in your battle with the flesh, in your battle with your mind, in your battle with the temptations of the world, the Bible said that he gives power to those that are about to faint. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Power. Hallelujah to the faint. What for? Read on.
And to them that have no might,
and to them that hath no might,
he increaseth strength.
He increaseth strength.
Even the youth shall faint.
Even the youth shall faint.
And be weary.
And be weary.
The young men shall utterly fall.
The old men shall utterly fall. Now, even the strong, in this battle, it's going to feel faintified sometimes. Even those of us that are seem to be living for God for a long period of time, in the battle, a lot of times we become weary and beaten down. And the powers of opposition and the powers to live for God, it seems like that we're not able to make it any longer. But he comes along here and says that he gives power to the faith.
Yeah.
And what he said in verse 31?
But they that wait upon the Lord.
But they, this is where you get
Hallelujah.
It to the mind. But they that wait upon the Lord, what's going to happen to them?
Shall renew their strength.
They shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up
as
wings as eagles.
They shall mount up. They shall mount up.
Yeah.
Wait. Wait on God.
Hallelujah.
Wait on God. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall do what?
They shall run.
They shall run.
And not be weary.
And not be weary.
They shall walk.
They shall walk.
And not
faint. They shall not faint. All right, so when you're about to faint in the flesh, through the trials, through the persecution, through the heartaches, you know what this verse here means? At verse 29, he said, you're going to have power. I'm going to give power to the faint. Now, what does that mean? That word power means super abundance of energy. Super abundance of energy. Oh, praise God, we're a saint. Praise God, we're a preacher. When it's about time that you think you're going to fail, you don't have any might. You don't have enough strength to carry on. If you wait on the Lord, if you pray, if you seek God, he said the strength will come. Supernatural.
First thing you know,
first thing you know, you're there when you feel like you've given it all out through your powers of opposition and powers of fight. And all of your spiritual strength is taken out. And you just seem like you can't go another step. And first thing you know, if you'll just wait on the Lord. And here you are. You're spiritually exhausted. That's what the word faith means. You're exhausted of fighting the flesh, fighting the world, fighting the devil, fighting evil spirits,
yeah.
Fighting people, fighting the world, yeah. Fighting everything else. Of political corruption and religious corruption and the flesh and everything else. Until you feel like you are spiritually exhausted and about to faint. But then he said, what you going to do? He said, they that wait.
Hallelujah.
So just start waiting on the Lord.
Wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him.
He said, all of a sudden, you'll feel a super abundance of energy coming back into your soul. And it will vibrate. And it will penetrate. And it's just like you go and take a dose of Haddocall. They used to tell me, Haddocall, you know. They on Haddocall, I don't know if they still sell it or not, but when I was a kid, they sold Haddocall. They advertised it on the radio and in the almanac and everywhere. It's supposed to be the cure-all. If you had an old boy that got on XERF, you'd hear him at night. He said, do you feel run down and tired and weak and exhausted? And he just go on telling about how you feel. You just run down. You just can't make the day. You're so tired. You can't get up in the morning. He said, what you need is a little Haddocall. Oh, I tell you, what we need is a little Holy Ghost Haddocall.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey, that wait upon the Lord.
Yeah.
They shall.
Glory.
They shall.
Glory.
Renew. They shall. Renew. That strength, hallelujah. They shall walk. They shall run and not faint. They shall walk, praise God, and not fall by the wayside. Because this is a supernatural abundance of energy that comes back and revibrates and rejuvenates and regenerates and replaces the power of God inside of your heart that makes you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. So just wait on the Lord. Wait on him. He'll come. He'll come. I've been out a lot of times. I go down to the altar. I just get down there and wait on the Lord. I just wait. I just sit there and my eyes closed and all the lights out. Right down on my face before God. Just wait on the Lord. First thing you know, I feel strength coming out of you. Energy. 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 Energy.
Hallelujah.
Supernatural. Spiritual energy. Oh, through persecution. Don't you know that when old Paul, he ran for his life. He fought the beast of Ephesus. He was out there in the deep. They tried to kill him everywhere he went. He got exhausted. But when they stole him in Lystra and left him there for dead, they examined. This old boy's on the rock pile. Oh, yes, he is. Ah, he can't make it no more. We for sure got him killed now. And they walked off. They felt in his pulse. He had none. They felt in his heartbeat. There were no heartbeats. But there was Paul under the rock pile. They walked off and left him for dead. There he was. All the rocks on top of him. The rocks on top of him. He laid there. He laid there. He was out. Yeah, he was out. And first thing you know, he felt something inside. First thing you know, the foot began to move.
Yeah!
That's it. Kick off the rock. Kick off the rock. Come out, money, that rock power. Yes, sir. He felt the power of the energy of God. Yes, sir. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. They thought they had him. They thought he was out. They thought he was dead. But the energy, the power, more.
Praise the Lord.
And Christ Jesus alone. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Come out from under the rock pile. Go ahead, devil. Go ahead, persecution. Go ahead, trials. Put us on the rock pile. We're coming out. We're coming out. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that's in you than all that bunch of devils and all them rocks that's on top of you. You know what Paul felt underneath them rocks? Just what Isaiah said. I'll give you power to the faint. In other words, when all of your life is about exhausted and you can't go no further and your trials is about to get you down and the cares of life has overrun you and the burdens is the heavy that's got you weighted plumb down to the ground and you come to church and the world is on you and you come out there, you want to sing, but you don't have enough spiritual energy to sing. You'd love to shout. But it seems like that there's shackles around your feet. And there's weights of 1,000 pounds on each one of them. And you just can't pick them up. Just can't pick them up. Hallelujah to God. But they that wait on the Lord. Well, first thing you know, you'll see. And you'll start feeling the superabundance. Not just a little bit. Not just a half a dose. But the whole bottle. Hallelujah. A superabundance. Abundance. Abundance. Of supernatural energy. And first thing you know, the power of the Holy Ghost will hit you. And you'll kick one leg and the shackles will go. You'll kick the other leg and that shackle will go. That mouth will fly open. The joy of the Lord will come. The glory of God will come. You'll dance. You'll run. He said you'll run. You'll run. You'll run. And not be weary. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus the Lord. Wait on him. Live for him. He'll come. He'll come. You may not think he's a coming, but he will. I guarantee he'll come. Oh, hallelujah. So he said, just wait on me. I'll be there. Yes, I will. Paul said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ha! What did he say in the next verse there, Brother Martin, that I got to believe it's Isaiah 43 and verse 2.
When thou passest through the waters.
Oh, yes. You're going to have some waters to pass through. The Lord didn't say. You know, a lot of people, they think that when they get the Holy Ghost, that they step on a spiritual escalator. And they just stand on that thing, fold their hands, it'll take them right to heaven. I wish to God that was the truth. He never promised us that we would have it easy. He never did say that you wouldn't have any trials. He never said that you wouldn't have any problems. But He did say, when thou passest through what?
The waters.
The waters.
I
what?
Will
I be?
Be
with
thee.
So you see, you're going to go through some waters. Yes, you are. But there's going to be one that's going to go right through those waters with thee.
Yeah. I'll be with thee.
Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to be with thee. Lo, I'll be with thee even to the end of the world. What else did he say?
And through the river.
And through the river.
They shall not overflow thee.
Oh, they're not going to overflow you. That old tempest may come. You may step out in that water. It may seem like it's going to go over your head. But he said it won't. They won't overcome you. You're going to go to the water. You're going to go to the river. But he said, they shall not overcome thee. What else?
When thou walkest through the fire.
When you walk through the fire.
Thou shalt not be burned.
Thou shalt not be burned.
Neither shall the flame kindle upon
neither
thee.
Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I like the illustration of the three Hebrew children. See, they had to go through the fire. But one thing that the old king forgot, he forgot the scripture right here in Isaiah 43 and 2. That's a promise. He forgot. Now, you think you're going to throw a prophet in the lion's den and the lion's going to eat him? Well, don't you know we serve a God that gives lions lockjaw? My God, they can't eat a Holy Ghost apostolic one God tongue talking preacher. It'd kill them. They die of indigestion. Even the whale that swallowed Jonah, he had to vomit him up. He couldn't stand him in there over 3 days. You couldn't stand an apostolic preacher over 3 days. They couldn't keep Paul in jail. He converted the jailer. The old whale, he couldn't keep Jonah in his stomach. He had to get rid of him. You know what? When that old whale swallowed Jonah, God was in the belly of that whale. He went right down there with him. And he went right to the bottom of the ocean. He said, I'll be with you when you go through the rivers and the waters. They'll overflow you, but they're not going to drown you. I'll get you back somehow or another. On, praise God, on the solid ground. Yeah, man, get you going, get you walking, get you running again. He got old Jonah running. He got old Jonah running. Yes, he did. He got him running. Hallelujah. He come out of the bottom of that ocean with slime in his face and everything else was around him. The weeds was about his head. But he come out of there running toward Nineveh. Hallelujah. Praise God. The devil may think you have us captured and back up in the wall and back up our wall, up our body, and our backs to the wall like you did, Samson. But I want you to know that God said He would be with us. So they throwed the three Hebrew children in the fire. The fire didn't burn them. It didn't destroy them. Because the Bible said there was somebody in there walking with them. And when they brought them out, there wasn't a hair on the head scorched. The things that had their hands bound behind them, they was burned or loose, and they was walking around and free. Was no scars or burned places on their body. The clothes was not burnt, and not even the smell of smoke was in their clothes. We're more than conquerors. I said we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus the Lord. The Holy Ghost power inside of us gives us a power to be more than conquerors. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Now then, I want to go a little further here. I want this scripture in Romans, Brother Martin, and let's read it here just a little bit. 8th chapter of the book of Romans.
For whom he did foreknow.
Now I want to show you why the devil can't destroy this child of God and why he can't destroy a church. If you'll stay in the church, the devil cannot destroy you. That's right. I said, if you'll stay in the church, the devil cannot destroy you. So stay in the church. Now you as an individual, you're not predestinated as an individual, but you are predestinated as a church. That's right. That's right. All right, now let's read the Word of God, what Paul said. I'm going to show you how that we have the power to overcome the devil and to be more than conquerors. What did he say?
For whom he did foreknow.
All right, now then. For whom God did foreknow.
He also did predestinate.
Right? He predestinated it. What he foreknew, he predestinated.
To be conformed to the image.
To be conformed to the image.
Of his Son.
Of his Son, which is Jesus Christ.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
All right, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. Read on.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate.
All right, now he said, he goes on explaining. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate.
Them also called.
Then he called them.
And whom he called. Them he also justified.
All right, now look at the procedure here. Foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification. Those that he foreknew, he predestinated. Those whom he predestinated, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. And what else?
And whom he justified,
them he also glorified. All right, now he's talking about the church here, not as individuals. I do not believe that what is going to be will be, and it cannot be changed. I believe that he's speaking here of the security and the guarantee of the child of God and the believer that gets in the church. I believe he's preaching to us that we can be secure and that nothing can destroy the church if we will stay in the church and live according to the Word of God. Now I want to show you what he's talking about here. He said, having predestinated. All right, now what does that word mean? Listen to me closer now. I believe this very thing, that the church is the source that makes salvation possible for this lost world. Do you believe that? All right, read on back up there. I don't mean read it, but I mean go back to what he just read. And he said that the purpose of him calling the church was that he might form the church in the likeness of Jesus Christ, that would become the instrument or the vehicle that would convey the redemptive plan of God as far as salvation is concerned to this lost and dying world. Now, he has chosen the church for that purpose. The church is the only direct representative of God on the face of this earth. And if you're ever saved, you'll have to be saved through the church. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't have to belong to the church down here just so I belong to the church up there. Well, I'm sorry for you, honey, because there ain't no church up there.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
What? Yeah. The church is still down here and in the graveyard. I've heard saints say that. I don't have to belong to the church down here just so that I belong to the church up there. Well, you don't belong to the church unless you belong to the one that's down here, because that's the only direct representative of God that's on the face of this earth, is the church, to bring salvation to those that are lost. So when you separate yourself from the church, it's just like you're taking this arm and separating it from the body. Because the church is the body of Jesus Christ. And you can't be connected with anything and be separated from it at the same time. And if you're separated from it, you're going to die. Because Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now if you separate the branch from the vine, the Bible says the branch will die separate from the vine. All right, so I'm showing you tonight why that you got to stay in the church. And if you'll stay in the church, there's not a devil, there's not a demon, there's not persecution, there's nothing in hell, there's nothing in heaven, there's nothing beneath, there's nothing all around, there's nothing present, nothing future, nothing to come that can separate us or destroy the power that's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he have foreknew it, he predestinated it. He called the church. That's what the word church means. Called out ones. Amen. So he foreknew the church from the foundation of the world Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. And he predestinated the church before there was ever a foundation of the world. He had that knowledge. So he foreknew what he was going to do. He had his plan all mapped out. You think God is some dumbbell that just accidentally, he just kind of staggers along through here and through the course of time, the church is just accidentally born? Oh, God had a redemptive plan. Go back from the very start and you'll see in Genesis 3 and 15, after the man Adam fell from grace, he started right that second with a plan to provide a redemptive a plan for salvation from the very beginning of time to the very end, the last man that will live on the face of this earth. He had a plan. He's got a plan for the church. He foreknew the church. He predestinated the church. He called the church. He justified the church. He's going to glorify the church too. Don't you ever forget it. Hallelujah to God. All right. Now then, he said here, heaven predestinated. All right. Now let me go back to this statement. The church is selected for the divine purpose of being channels through which the knowledge of salvation might be brought to mankind. And if you think for one moment that God has chosen and selected a method to bring redemption to this world, and then he's going to let it be defeated? Not on your life. The church is not born by accident. The church is God's called out ones. This selection is an act of God. I didn't have one thing to do with me being called to salvation. My Bible tells me that no man can come to God except Jesus draw him. I'll die and go straight to hell if the Spirit of God does not draw me and call me into the redemptive plan of salvation. I didn't have a thing to do with my salvation. God dealt with my heart through conviction. That was His Spirit of drawing me. And God called me into the ministry. I didn't have a thing to do with it. But God called me and put me in the church. So this selection is an act of God choosing out from among mankind the church of the living God unto Himself to be the channel through which He would reveal the salvation plan to the mankind. And so these that He calls and justifies become His. He said, you are bought with a price. You're not your own. You were sold as a slave to sin through Adam. You had no choice of who your master was. You were slave to sin and Satan's your master. You had no choice in that because you were sold through Adam. So you was a slave. But Jesus came and bought you back. And bought you back with His blood. And with His sacrifice on Calvary. And so you do not belong to yourself now. You belong to another master. That master is Jesus Christ. Who gave Himself for you. Alright, so now then after you have been purchased with His blood. Through the church and the body of Jesus Christ. You become His to be used for a certain purpose in this earth. And that purpose is to reveal the redemptive plan of God as salvation to mankind. All right, so he said here in Romans 8, through this verses of Scripture, he said, having predestinated. And also he affirms it in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, having predestinated. All right, so what does that word mean, having predestinated? It means to determine the destiny of. Did you know that the destiny of the church has already been predetermined before the foundation of the world? It's not maybe the church will make it. The church might make it. No, sir, friend. It's already been determined that the church is going to definitely, absolutely make it. I've got to stay in the church. The church is going to make it. Because God, the sovereign one, the strong one, the absolute ruler and potentate of every power, has the church in His hand. All right? The word predestinated means prefixed. It's already prefixed. It's already decreed. It's decreeing to do something beforehand. He decreed what the church is going to be and the destiny of the church before there ever was a church. It means appointed to something or beforehand to something. All right, so the church is the chosen ones of God. And the destiny of the church was predestinated before the foundation of the world. God selected the church out of the world for a certain purpose. And nothing, Paul said nothing. Paul said nothing. I am persuaded. What persuaded? Faith in the promise of the revelation of God's precious word. That's what persuaded him. Faith in that God meant what he said. I've got to have faith. I conquer through faith. I live for God through faith. I'm healed by faith. I receive the Holy Ghost by faith. I speak in tongues by faith. I walk by faith. I cast out devils by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's why I am persuaded tonight. That's why Paul said, because of the revelation that I have concerning the predestination of the church, then I am persuaded through my faith in what God said concerning that predestination. So I don't fret whether the church is going to make it or not. The thing that I'm fretting about, am I going to stay in the church? Yeah, God's going to have a church and it's going to make it. It's already predestined. The destiny of the church has already been settled by God. The church is going to make it. But oh God, help me to stay in the church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, praise God, I want you to know that God selected the church out of the world, and nothing is going to stop it. What did he say in Matthew 16:18? I want you to know that Jesus was letting the apostles know before the church was ever formed what was going to happen to it. Matthew 16:18.
And I say also unto thee,
and I say also unto thee,
that thou art Peter,
that thou art Peter,
and upon this
and
rock,
upon this rock,
I will build my church.
I will build my church,
and the gates
and
of hell,
and the gates of hell
shall not
prevail,
shall not
prevail. What does the word prevail mean? It means overcome. It means to conquer. It means to subdue. It means to control. It means to put it down in the feet. It shall not prevail against the church. The church. The church. The church. The church. So, devil, you better not have your banquet yet. We still alive and well.
Yeah.
Again. The devil might as well not have his little jig up there in celebration. Think he's got the the church under his foot, and think he's got the church defeated, because he said that upon this rock. Praise God, talking about himself, the divine revelation that Peter had of who Jesus Christ was. And he was God himself, manifested in the flesh. He was Jehovah, the strong one, the Jehovah that has become our salvation. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The hell and demons, the world, the flesh, temptation, trial, persecution, there shall be nothing that can conquer the church. But the church shall conquer every foe and shall be more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, we're not on the defenses and always got to back up in the corner and keep backing up and keep backing up. Straighten up your head, saint of God. Hallelujah. Stick your chest out. Get up there and look the devil in the face and tell the devil he's a liar and a part of all lies. That you can live for God. That you are going to walk with God. That's not. Hallelujah. The devil says, I'm going to send the waters and the flood, and they'll drown you. But no, sir. Go back to the verse of Scripture in Isaiah 43:2, where it says that the waters will not drown you. The fires won't devour you. the flames won't destroy you, because I'll be with you in every one of them. I'll be with you through every one of them. Hallelujah. 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 I'm glad. I'm glad. I say I'm glad. I say I'm glad that I know the Word of God. I've got to have faith. I've got to have faith in what the Word of God says. Do you believe tonight that what I read to you, that the church is predestined and the destiny of the church has already been settled with God? Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Read verse 1. Now faith. Now he said faith is the substance. Now let me show you something. Paul, writing to the church in the book of Romans, where he said that I am persuaded. Now something, there's got to be a source. There's got to be a source that persuades. Because you're not persuaded in your mind. Now here's what persuasion is. Persuasion is being convinced of a certain thing. The convincing comes by the act of faith upon what is promised. So when God said in the Word of God that the church was foreknew from the foundation of the world, that the church was predestinated before the foundation of the world, that the church was called out to be His method of redemption to mankind before the foundation of the world. And since it is called out, then that church is justified before the foundation of the world. And also the church is already glorified, as according to God is concerned, from the foundation of the world. Now Paul had faith in what God had revealed to him. And the fact that he had faith and believed and doubted not concerning the promise of God, concerning the church, then that's why he said that he was persuaded that nothing. And the reason that he was persuaded, because his persuasion was predicated upon the faith that he had in the promise of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so this is where we come in. This is how we conquer. You conquer through faith. Through the Holy Ghost and through faith. See, the power is in you to conquer. Then faith puts that power into operation and action. You see, all right, now let us go back the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and let's have a little study here concerning faith. Now he said, faith, read on,
is the substance of things hoped for.
It's the substance of things hoped for.
The evidence of things not seen.
Things that are not seen. All right, now skip down and pick up verse 13. Listen now carefully.
These all died in the faith.
These all died in the faith.
Not having received the promises.
Not having received the promises.
But having seen them.
Oh, what?
But having seen
now
them.
Now, these all died in the faith. Not having lived to see the fulfillment of the promise. But they done what?
But having not seen them afar off.
But having seen them afar off.
But having seen
them.
Right.
Not having not, but having seen
right.
them afar off. Now, they did not see them with their eyes. Now, they had a promise of a city. They had a promise of a lamb. They had a promise of a Messiah.
Right.
They never did see the Messiah with their eyes, but they saw him afar off, and they were persuaded by what they saw.
Right.
All right. Now, these all died in the faith. They were persecuted. They were done everything. But they died in the faith. But how come them to have faith to be able to die for something that they couldn't feel? For something that they couldn't see? Well, how come they could die in a faith for a city that they never had looked at? Because they saw it through the eyes of faith. Now, what is it in verse 27?
By faith, he forsook Egypt.
Moses forsook Egypt.
Not fearing
the wrath
of the king.
For
now, he endured.
Now, he what?
He endured.
He endured.
As seeing him who is invisible.
Now, that's how he was able to endure. He never did see.
Never did.
He never did see with his natural eye. But he saw it through faith. He saw it through faith. And the reason that he could endure the hardship and make the decision to come out of the household of Pharaoh and go and take up with the afflictions of the children of Israel, it's because that he saw him who was invisible.
Hallelujah.
He saw it through faith. Hallelujah to God. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for and the evidence of the thing that's not seen. Now let's stop and elaborate just a second here. So here is the key to illustrate faith. Faith sees things not revealed to the five senses. It sees things that's not revealed to the five senses. Faith rests and acts upon what it sees. Faith sees things that it don't see in the natural. And then through the natural, it acts upon that which it sees. Faith sees invisible things that is not revealed to the senses and is convinced of their reality, or is convinced of the reality of what it sees. So here's what faith does. Faith looks into the future and sees the destiny of the church. And by seeing the destiny of the church, we act and live and endure hardships and trials and persecutions and temptations because we are acting upon what we see through faith. And faith, what it sees, convinces us and the spirit of man that what it sees is not a dream, it's not a hoax, it's not a fairy tale, it's not a myth, but it's a real thing. What I'm looking at is real. Ha, glory to God. And that's why Abraham, when God spoke to him and said, "Get up, boy, from there, the Chaldeans, and go, and I'm going to show you a city." He never did see that city with his natural eye. But through faith, the Bible said he saw it. And he acted upon what his faith saw. And that's why he could take his family and get out there in the tent and leave all of his home behind. Leave all of his wealth behind. Because what he saw, it was through the eyes of faith, and he was convinced that what he saw was a real, genuine, holy city. You know what he saw? You go to the book of Revelation, and you know what John saw? John actually saw it with his eyes, but Abraham never did see it. Abraham saw it through faith. But the same city that John in the book of Revelation saw of the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven and coming down to this earth, Abraham saw it by faith before it ever happened and before it ever existed. That's why the Bible said, by faith, Abraham. Abraham, by faith, Abraham. Praise God, he got up. He left the earth of the Chaldeans, and he went looking for that city. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, so I've got to hurry and bring it to a close. Faith is assurance. It's not a wish. It's not a dream. It's not a hope so. But it is assurance that gives us a guarantee of possessing that which is seized and trust in. I've got to have a guarantee. I cannot live for God. I cannot go through heartaches and trials. I cannot suffer and die and give my blood for something that I am not convinced of. And I've got assurance and a guarantee that it's going to be just like the Bible said. And faith is the thing that gives me this guarantee. Paul said in Ephesians, talking about listing all the different pieces of the armor, spiritual armor, he said, when he got through reading all of them, telling how important each one was, and what the purpose each one was for, he come on down there, and when he got down the last part, and he said, above all, above all, above all this other that you got, above that helmet of salvation, above that breastplate there, above those things that you got your feet shod with, above everything. He said, above everything, take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith, because it is through the shield of faith that is going to protect you from all of the darts of the devil. The helmet can only protect your head. The breastplate can only protect your breast. The shod of your feet can only protect your feet. But the shield of faith can protect the whole man. Above all, take the shield of faith. I praise God, because it's through the shield of faith. It's through faith that you're going to be able to defeat and conquer every power, every foe, every opposition in your walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Now then, let me show you something. Faith is that assurance and that conviction of unseen things which causes us to rely confidently upon the future fulfillment of the divine promises of God Almighty. How do I know that's going to be a holy city? I've never seen a holy city. How do I know there's going to be a resurrection? I've never been in a resurrection. How do I know I'm going to have a glorified body? I've never had a glorified body. But my faith is my assurance and my guarantee that I am going to have a resurrection. Do you have faith in the Word of God? Do you have faith in the promise of God? Have you got faith in God's Word? That's your guarantee. Faith in the promise of God's Word is your guarantee. And that guarantee is the thing that's going to cause you to live for God and act upon that which you are assured of. So that's how the saints of God of the Old Testament lived for God. That's how they was able to die. Because, praise God, faith in the Bible is confidence in the absolute truthfulness and trustworthiness of every promise which comes from God. Can you say amen? All right, skip on down there. Begin reading verse 33. And let me show you something. This is how that they lived for God. They was more than conquerors. They was more than conquerors. How? Through faith. Through faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. These all died in the faith. Not having received the promise, but they saw them through the eyes of faith and was convinced that what they saw was truth and it was real and it was trustworthy of them laying their life down for what their eyes was looking at through faith. And this is what he said. Read it there in verse 33 and read all the way down through that chapter.
Who through faith?
I want you to stand while he reads this. All right, I got to have a drink of water. Everybody say, through faith. All right, read on. Through faith.
Who through faith subdued kingdoms?
All right, now how did they subdue kingdoms? Through faith. Everybody say, through faith. They subdued kingdoms. How did they subdue kingdoms? Through faith. Through faith in what? In faith of what they saw. In the faith of what they heard. In the faith of what God said. They was convinced. The faith, the Bible said, verse 1, is the evidence. It's a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. So through faith, they subdued kingdoms.
Wrought righteousness.
Now, kingdom didn't subdue them. They subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness.
Obtained promises.
And obtained promises.
Stopped the mouths of lions.
They stopped the mouths of lions through faith.
Quenched the violence of fire.
They quenched the violence of fire through faith.
Escaped the edge of the sword.
They escaped the edge of the sword through faith.
Out of weakness were made strong.
Out of weakness were made strong through faith.
Waxed violent in fight.
They waxed violent in fight.
Turned to fight.
That's that supernatural double portion of the divine energy that I talked about a while ago. When it seemed like that the devil was going to get up and the floods would go over on them and the fire's going to burn them. The Bible said they received a supernatural dose of divine energy.
Turn to flight the armies of the allies.
Fight. Done what?
They turned to flight the armies of the allies.
Oh, yes, they did. Read on.
Women received their dead raised to life again.
They received the dead raised to life again through faith.
Others were tortured.
Others was tortured.
Not accepting deliverance.
How did they stand it? They would not accept deliverance.
Would not.
They would not recant. They would not surrender. They would not go back on God. All through faith.
that they might obtain.
That they might obtain
a better resurrection.
A better resurrection.
Hallelujah.
For us was looking at a better resurrection through the eyes of faith.
Others had trials of cruel mockings.
Oh, they had trials of cruel mockings.
Scourgings.
Oh, what?
Scourgings.
Scourgings, whippings, and beatings.
Yea, moreover, of bonds, imprisonment.
Moreover, in bonds, stocks, and prisons.
They were stoned.
In dungeons, and they were stoned.
Sawed asunder.
And asunder, cut in half, and part of their body was fed to the wild beasts of the field.
Were tempted.
They were tempted.
Were slain with a sword.
Slain with a sword.
They wandered.
They wandered. They were vagabonds. They kicked them out of the cities. They wouldn't let them have a place to dwell in. But they kept on because their eyes were looking through faith to a better resurrection. Hallelujah. They was more than conquerors. Pharaoh tried to conquer. The posse tried to conquer. Everybody tried to conquer. But they couldn't do it, my friend. Because to the eyes of faith, they were more than conquerors.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, they was more than conquerors. Through faith they conquered. Through faith they conquered. What else did he say?
Wondered about in sheepskin.
Oh, they was wonders, and they wondered about
goatskin.
Wouldn't sell them no food, and they wouldn't sell them no clothes, and they caught the animals, and they run the goats
down.
That's
right.
They run them to the hills and the mountains and killed them, and covered the women, and covered the nakedness with the goats and the sheepskins. But they kept a living for God. They kept a living for God. Praise God. No food. You think you're going to starve the church? No, sir. God will feed her. They thought they'd get it out of the wilderness. They starve her to death.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
God let manna fall from heaven. And fed his church in the wilderness.
Being destitute. Afflicted.
Afflicted.
Tormented.
What?
Tormented.
Tormented.
Of whom the world was not worthy.
My God, do you see what these people went through? Do you understand what they went through? And yet not one time did they have what you and I had. But they saw what you and I had through the eyes of faith. They saw it. And the Bible said the angels saw what you got. And they desired to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the Messiah coming in and living and taking up his residence inside of our heart. My God, do you know what you got tonight? All right, so these people were destitute. They were tormented. They was beaten. They was slain.
Right,
they was done everything.
Right.
And what else?
Of whom the world was not worthy.
The world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. Is that all that?
They wandered in deserts and in mountains.
They wandered in deserts and in mountains.
In dens and caves of the earth.
Dens and caves of the earth.
And these all having obtained a good report through faith.
They all having retained a good report through faith, and they saw it through the eyes of faith.
Received not the promise.
They didn't receive it. They never lived to become a recipient of it.
God having provided.
But God had it provided.
Some better things
some
for
better
us.
Some better things for us.
That they without
that
us could not be made perfect.
Could not be made perfect. My God. My God. No wonder Paul said more than conquerors. When he looked back and saw the revelation of God here. When he looked back and saw the predestination of the church. When he looked back and saw how Abraham could endure. And how that Moses endured. Oh, brother, listen. The church has been tried to be killed and destroyed from every generation. But the church is more than conquerors. It's more than conquerors. Old Julius the apostate in the 3rd century, in closing tonight. He made a vow that he would destroy the church of the living God from the face of this earth. And he sought to do it, my friend. He sought to do it. He sealed it with his word and with his covenant. And with the decree. And with his secret. We shall not stop until we eliminate the church from the face of this earth. And for 3.5 years... He went, he sought, he worked, he fought, he tortured, he killed, he done everything that he could. And in a battle, after 3.5 years, in a battle on the battlefield with another country, in war, Judas, the apostate, he lay wounded, mortally wounded on his battlefield, and he saw he was fixing to die. And his last words was, when he looked up in toward the sky, and he saw that he was a dying, and his soldiers stood around him. He looked up in the sky, and he took a double handful of his own blood as it began to gush out of his loins. He took the double handful of his own blood, and he looked up in the sky, and he threw that blood, his own blood, toward heaven. And this is what he said. He said, "Thou hast conquered after all, O Galilean. Thou hast conquered after all, O Galilean." He's talking about Jesus. You're not going to conquer the church. Go ahead, apostasy. Go ahead, trials. Go ahead, persecution. But the church is more. The church is more. The church is more than conquerors. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. I want to sing this chorus. His truth is marching on. Hallelujah to God. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. His truth is marching on. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Sing it, somebody.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Everybody sing it.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory.
Oh, let the devil hear tonight the truth marching on.
Hallelujah, his truth is marching on. Oh, glory, glory.
Oh, come on, put some feeling into it. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, his truth is...
Come on, preacher, I want you to get out of them eyes. March around this thing.
Well, glory.
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher, march a little bit here. Come on, let's march around here. Let's make a circle here. The truth is going to march on. You're the truth. Come on, just march around this middle section right here. That's right. Follow the leader, that's it. Come on, stay singing, everybody. These are preachers' truth.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Oh, look at these preachers.
Glory,
the truth is marching on. Come on, sing it. I want you to really sing it.
His truth is marching on. Oh, glory. Hallelujah, oh glory, glory, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory, glory,
you believe the truth is marching on tonight? These preachers are going to march. These preachers are the truth of God. Come on, sing it while they march one more time.
Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah.
Come on, put your feet like you're marching, everybody. Everybody march! Everybody move your feet in a march!
Glory, glory, hallelujah! His truth is marching on.